I thought the 19th was the one where they did the amendment to the to the agreement. I don't know where things stand with the tenders.
No, it just I don't know, getting more and more complicated now. And we talked to our treasurer about it. We don't have it in our budget, certainly, for the what they've requested with the bridge financing. That's not something we've even considered. So the way our treasurer spoke, I think that's what we put in the resolution. That's it. That's the amount of money that we were contributing.
And to that, there, in one of the meetings, they had kept saying, Andy Gordon, the project manager, he kept saying, and that was on the February the 14th meeting, that the MSB approved a project budget of $36,373,000 to complete the facility on December the 14th, 22. And I said, could you please provide a copy of that motion that the board passed, right? And what she sent me was attached are the board meeting minutes. Item 2.5 identifies the increase in construction costs and the increase that will result from moving from a four-lane to a six-lane pool. The board agreed to construct the six-lane pool contingent upon fundraising of $5 million capital cover increase construction costs and the increase of three additional lanes, but there's no motion.
So it's interesting that the project has moved from $32 million now to $36 million
to 36.
With no motion.
That's right.
Well, this came in as at the 11th hour sort of thing. We just receive it for information, then
yeah.
I guess, and
okay.
Go from there. And while that's being written up, wondering, we have for 20.1, maybe Councillor Zulak, you can speak to that. It's on the agenda. The rabies clinic.
Okay, the rabies clinic. I was trying to get together a rabies clinic going this year. Had conversations with the vet and with the township to try and arrange that. And the timelines that are to I wouldn't be able to advertise it until tomorrow. And then the vet wants a cutoff date by the 19th of March. And also, she wouldn't be able to provide tags. They would be able to have certificates. She said she had to order tags a year ahead of time. And Jan Gibson, she worked with me because we were going to do e-transfers. Because the vet wanted these to be pre-registered and prepaid, and so I came into the township and spoke with Roshan, and he was in agreement and everything. And then he sent me an email, and also in the motion it says cash only. So I'm not going. I'm not doing that because how do I get the people to prepay and pre-register, bring me the cash, and then go back, and then come to. For the clinic, you know, it's too much back and forth, and it's not open just to McKellar. It was to be open to anyone, so you could have people coming from wherever,
sure.
Right, to do it. So it's not working out. Like, I'd rather it to be done right. You'd have the tag if you want the tag. You have the certificate, and so I'm going to investigate, see if I can get. And she hit up this vet and said that we would be the only one she would be doing. She's not going to do it in the future. So I'm going to investigate for next year to see if I could get another vet to come and do it.
Now, is this the same person that did it last year?
All the years we've had it, she's the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's just scaling down, and that's all.
And then if it's pre-registered, then she can decide if it's worth her time to come?
Well, she said that it would have to be 50 at least. 50 people at least for her to come. And then she told me she looked and she had 120 certificates. So, you know, each animal, if you have three cats and a dog, that takes up a lot of the certificates, because they each get a certificate. So it's just not, you know, it's just doesn't work out. The time, if it was going to be in May or something, you know, I'd have more time.
Yeah, and that's when they were usually held in the past, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
May?
her schedule too,
right.
For, you know, her large animals was the first week in April. So we were working at having it on, what did I say, on the Wednesday in the first week of April. But it's not going to work. I only got how many days to get people to pay and register. And then this problem with the township not wanting to do the e-transfers. So.
In the past, was there usually between 75 and 100 that would come to the...
Oh, quite a few. I can't remember what the numbers were.
A lot. Like that Luano, there would be covered with people.
Quite a
lot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was something else.
No, I only counted four bullets for this year.
Well, thanks for the attempt, and hopefully something can be organized in the future. Because it was always a successful event and appreciated.
We're just receiving it. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Do you care?
That will be good.
Yeah, do that after.
Right, it's getting worse.
Do the file out without the business.
Okay.
Or we can put it in here, I guess. 20.3.
Yeah.
That's a visible.
We have bits of motion following that one, so.
Yeah.
Is there an implication that we should provide our regrets if we've in the situation?
Well, I'm just a little surprised, as I said before, that we're not even being acknowledged, either there or not there, until we get this letter. My understanding, now this generally works with meetings. If you missed three meetings, then you're no longer a member. That's my understanding. It certainly works with council, and then council has to approve any, if there's extenuating circumstances or you're away for more than three meetings. Consecutive meeting.
Yes.
Then you're gone. So I don't know what their policy is. To be honest, right from the beginning, I asked for the procedural bylaw. And they were supposed to have their own. I still don't think they do. I think they're still using Perry Sound.
I think they're using Perry Sound.
So a number of things that they're doing that like normal, not normal council procedure, but they are their own board now. So I guess they might have different.
So it's almost like an implied threat by making that statement at the end of the letter, right? I mean, that there'll be some dire consequences or whatever, but...
Yeah, what, they're going to get rid of us? Thank you.
Maybe they'll stick us for the whole $36 million, you know, so...
But you know what kills me about this letter? He says here, there continues to be a number of important decisions to be made as we move forward with this vital community wellness project. It is important as a member of the board that your voice is at the table. Our voice makes no difference. We're 1/12 of a vote. Our voice makes no difference.
Designed like that from the beginning.
Yeah.
resolution, 24-132. This is for 19.6. Move the Councilor Rod and second the Councilor Hassman be resolved. The Council of the Corporation of Township of Keller has hereby received a letter from Donald Sanderson, Chair of the West Prairie Sound Recreation and Cultural Center Board, dated March the 4th, 2024, requesting attendance of the Keller Township representative of the MSB?
Municipal Services Board.
Oh, Municipal Services Board. Attend the next board meeting held on Wednesday, March the 18th, for information.
Actually, if you read the letter very narrowly, he actually isn't requesting that. He says to advise of our intentions to attend. So I don't know that it matters for the resolution, but I mean, if you read expressly what's written here, then he doesn't say that he will request us to attend, just to advise our intentions. I could give him a couple words, but.
Yeah, no, that's, I think this will.
Suffice.
Receiving it for information anyway.
Sure.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed, Garrett?
That was 19.6, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I see it now. Yeah,
20.1, just
yeah.
Explain why it's no longer there. And 20.2, I guess we'll do that one first. This would be 20.3. Yeah. So 20.2 is the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee Clean Up Our Lakes campaign. Proposed 2024 dates, May 13th through the 26th. We have a resolution on that.
That one's done.
I know Jennifer wishes to speak to
yep.
this if you're willing. So,
yeah. We have resolution 24-133, moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Ryan. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller is hereby authorized the disposal of waste into the regular household collection bin for the collection of waste collection as a part of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee's annual Clean Up Our Lakes campaign in cooperation with the Township at the transfer station from May the 13th, 2024. May 26, 2024, in coordination with the Director of Operations, and further that waste not acceptable for disposal at the McKellar Transfer Station during this campaign includes, but is not limited to, household hazardous waste, bolts, bulky items, large appliances, brush, household furniture, and any item that would incur a waste tipping fee as cited in Bylaw 2023-55. Discussion? Council first.
I also asked Greg about this one here, how that would work, you know, the dates and everything for them at the transfer station, and he said he was in agreement.
He was?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he had talked about this a while back, that it was probably too long of a period, so they did shorten it. And it's not a separate bin this time, it's just going into the regular household. Okay, Jennifer, apparently you wanted to speak to this.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Yes, 2 points. The NLCA has always been a partner in this Clean Up Our Lakes, Rivers and Roads campaign. And so I would ask that their name be inserted in cooperation with NLCA and the township. I believe I sent wording to Karen, to the deputy clerk, just to add the NLCA. And they do the sign, and they also do a lot of the publicity. I just wanted to say one word about the waiving of the tipping fees. In the past, we've had a separate bin, and so people have brought in items that wouldn't normally go in the household garbage. And I could think of a couple of items like large pieces of styrofoam that were typically used to float older docks. There was one year, I think in the first year, my husband and I hauled an old canoe that had sunk, but it had been ripped in half by the ice. And so those items were accepted when we had our own bins. I understand that council does not want to waive the tipping fees. And so I did take the look at 21 municipal websites that we had information about their recycling and garbage. And of those 21, six have annual, have some waiving of tipping fees, so that's just under one-third. So there is precedent. One has an annual free large item collection, and by large item they're talking about furniture and white goods. One has 140 kilograms a year, so they have access to a weigh scale. Bulky items are free for each resident. Another has an annual drop-off day for large items with no charge. And in other times, there are tipping fees, but these are sort of holidays for the residents from the tipping fees. Another has two free large items per month, and one has no tipping fee at all for acceptable large items, and one allows two bulky items six times a year. So there's a number of variations of waiving tipping fees for some items. And so anyway, those are my concerns. I think outside of the Clean Up Our Lakes, Rivers and Roads campaign, for some people, I used to work in the literacy field as a volunteer, and I know that there are many families for whom a tipping fee would be an insurmountable barrier to taking some things. And part of the aim of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee is to have the township of McKellar, you know, looking well cared for and not having things hanging around and yards that aren't able to be taken. So I would encourage you to think of having a tipping fee holiday, maybe in early November or something like that. But if you're not willing to have it for this Clean Up Our Lakes, Rivers and Roads, although I was hoping that you would do that. So that's all. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I remember maybe Councillor Cutkin could speak to, we used to have free days, and that was a bit of a zoo. But
2 points. One, the municipalities that you refer to, are they transfer stations or landfill sites?
They're transfer stations.
Do the municipalities have their own landfill site that they're going to be transferring that to?
I think some of them did. A lot of the municipalities have very detailed information about, you know, what types of things can be taken to the transfer station and what has to go to landfill. And if it doesn't go to their landfill, they have categories for this is where you can take your hazardous waste, this is where you can take your large bulky items, and so they provide addresses for people to take those things to. So I think that, you know, sometime down the road that would be a really good thing to do as well.
So when the municipality ran a landfill site, yes, we did have a free day, just because there was no additional cost to the taxpayers because it was going in for landfill. And secondly, it was a free-for-all. You had people hauling anything and everything, truckloads of stuff coming in, and that was a disaster.
I think the concern is, as you say, what do we do with some of these things? Our transfer station bylaw doesn't allow us to even accept some things, like boats, stumps, and it's in the bylaw, according to our certificate of approval. So if we do accept them, first of all, we're breaking our own certificate of approval. And where do we send it? Because we don't accept it. And we can't even transfer it. It's just not allowed. So there's a bit of a problem then. We don't know what people are going to be bringing. So that's what makes it difficult, I think. And it's an opportunity for, I mean, somebody to abuse the situation. Not that they would, but it's an opportunity. If they had something stored on the property and couldn't get rid of it, suddenly you've got a chance to take it to the transfer station. And at no cost. And yet everybody's paying then for the cost of getting rid of it. But I think the big concern, as I said before, is we have certain rules to abide by the Ministry of the Environment, and if we start accepting things that we shouldn't be accepting, then we don't want to lose our certificate of approval, because we had to fight hard to get that transfer station. And initially we were told, once your landfill closes, you'll be transporting probably to Michigan. And so we flocked, and the envelope itself allowed us to do certain things with the transfer station, a certain size. We asked for an increase, an enlargement of the area so we could put in more bins, and we just have to, we worked fairly well with the environment over the years, so I wouldn't want to endanger that relationship by doing this for a matter of a week or two. I think it's great what you're doing, certainly, but there are only certain things that we can accept, and that's why I think the agreement is that they go into the regular garbage. The styrofoams, I've seen, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know where else it goes. It has to go into the regular garbage. I don't know where else you would put it. It's not recyclable for us, so. Any other comments? All we've done is added the coordination with the Director of Operations and the MLCA as requested. That was the only amendment, so we'll call first of all on the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Okay, and then a question on the amended resolution. All those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Resolution 24-134, moved by Councilman Cuckin and second by Councilman Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-19, being a bylaw to adopt a code of conduct policy for building officials of the Township of McKellar, first and second reading. Discussion? Now, since started working on this, I've been told, I don't have any evidence of it, but that we had a bylaw code of conduct for building officials, and I'm not aware of any, but I'm just thinking since this is two readings, and it's by law, we're supposed to have one, that we somehow maybe put in an exclusion that all other bylaws, existing bylaws, relating to the building officials' code of conduct be repealed. Whether or not it exists, I don't know, I have no evidence, but I was told that it did exist by someone who used to work in that field. So, if we can't find it, it's probably safer for us for third reading to repeal the existing one if it exists. Any other discussion of the bylaw itself? Councilor Ryan.
On page 4, item 3.0, and I know we do this repeatedly in the document later, as well as we say based on the severity and frequency of the violation, which would imply to me that you would have to meet both criteria by using the word and. And so therefore, even if you did something really egregious one time, that, again, it's not specific, but it kind of implies I would have to have done it multiple times, or at least that and something else on other occasions. I would be much happier with the word either and or.
So where's that? Page 4.
Page 4, item 3, right near the bottom, second last paragraph.
Okay.
It also occurs on the next page, page 5, under item 1, under severity and frequency. And I have the same problem with, the first sentence says disciplinary action arising from violations of the code of conduct will be the responsibility of council and the chief building official, which poses kind of a problem. If, seeing as we only have a chief building official, how can it be his responsibility to discipline himself?
Well, no, there's another clause in there that it goes then above the chief building official. If it's about him, then it goes to the disciplinary body, which is the council.
That's true, but nevertheless, it's an awkward sentence at a minimum. That's all my point is, just to change the grammar. But
I have that highlighted as well. That maybe that should have been and the clerk administrator, or
well, where is it? Where
so that's
top of page 5, first paragraph, item number 1 on page 5. But
disciplinary action arising from violations of the code of conduct is the responsibility of the council and the chief building official.
Yeah.
I thought it would be council and whoever the chief building official answers to.
Well, what it is chief building official, because it may be somebody working under that person. So it might be another, an inspector, for instance, I'm thinking of, we have an agreement with Whitestone.
Yeah.
So if he comes in.
I did think of that too, but yeah.
He's still under the control then of our CDO. And so he may be able to deal with the situation himself, and if it's about him, then it would be to council.
Yeah. And I think everybody here knows that that would be the case, but it does say something here. It implies that he would have to
be part of
discipline himself, right? Which is obviously, it doesn't cause me any great concern. It's just that it's, again, at the very least awkward. So.
And well, I think the idea was that he's included because he may take the first step. It may never come to council. He may deal with it. And then if that doesn't work, then the idea would be that he'd have to bring it to council. Like, I'm not sure if anybody's in a supervisory position, you might be running into that. Maybe you can deal with it all in-house before it becomes an issue and goes to council. I don't want a situation, I don't think, and maybe council does, but where somebody's running to council for anything and everything, because mm-hmm. you have an immediate supervisor, Councilor Zula.
So, if a complaint comes in, and it isn't dealt with, and council never sees it.
Well, then that would be up to the person who made the complaint.
Okay.
To come to council or whatever and say, you know, what happened to this? This is what I sent. There's a record of it. And that's when council gets involved, I think. But I'm thinking we don't want to look over the shoulder every time that something happens.
I agree.
But when you read further back in the guidelines for investigating allegations of breaches of code of conduct,
page
4 or 5, so upon receipt of a complaint, the chief building official will review any allegations of breaches of this code of conduct made against a building services member, staff
right.
member, talks about that.
Right.
2, where the allegations against the chief building official or against the chief building official, council will review the allegations.
Right.
Disciplinary action arising from the violations of this code of conduct is the responsibility of council.
Right.
And will be based on the severity and or frequency of the violation. So then next, 4.0, it talks about the chief building official will provide a written response to the complainant with a copy provided to council.
Right.
So council seems to be the focus of where the complaints go to, and when it deals with, which we basically primarily have, is a chief building official.
Right. But the problem we're having, I think, is that, like I say, that we're not doing it on a daily basis. We don't meet that often even. If a complaint comes in about a particular action of somebody, say it's, as I say, somebody in from Whitestone as an example, and he's doing something, and who are they going to complain? They're going to run to council, I don't think. They're going to talk to our CBO.
So that's what it says in 1.0.
Right.
Upon the receipt of a complaint, the chief building official will review any allegations of breaches of this code of conduct made against a building services staff member.
Right.
So those, but anything other than that, would, through the other 3-4 points,
to council.
Is going to council.
Yeah.
And it's just to ensure that, number one, disciplinary action.
Right.
It's worded so that council and the chief building official will determine what the discipline will be.
Right.
But that doesn't align with if the chief building official is the focus of the complaint.
Well, it does in a sense. But you want that person to be in on the discussion, I would hope. If the council's going to take disciplinary action with the CBO, you'd want the CBO there, I would hope.
Well, certainly.
And also in 4, it says the chief building official will provide a written response to the complaint with a copy provided to
right.
council
right.
within 30 days.
Just out of curiosity, if we received a written complaint, a mailed written complaint, would it just be given if it was addressed to Chris and or the CBO? I mean, I don't need to name the person, but would we see it? Would you see it? Like, when the mail comes in, who actually sees it and does anything with it, even without opening an envelope?
If it was if the mail came in, if it was a letter that came in the mail, Mary would bring it to whoever it was addressed to.
Okay.
Whether it was addressed to Chris or to myself, or if it was addressed to council, then depending on whether it's something that needs to go into the consent agenda or whether it's something that needs to be dealt with, then it gets sent out to council.
Okay.
A lot of times, anything that Chris has to deal with anyone about, he will always email me, and
okay.
he will CC me on anything. Very, very rarely have I ever had any complaints come in about you know, the way that Chris has treated anybody. Most of the complaints that we get is that he doesn't turn his head away on things, and Chris's simple response to that, if people ask him to do something or ignore something,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, this is, I've been in construction for 20 years and I've always done it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Chris's simple response to them is, can you please supply that request to me in writing?
Mm-hmm.
If they're willing to put that request in writing, that's great. If they aren't willing to put it in writing, probably what they're asking for. They're not going to be happy, but probably what they're asking for is not.
Do you have any experience with when complaints about CBO relative to this and or for any other part of the organization that were not disclosed to you? Like, does it happen that there's complaints and they get buried somewhere?
Not that I am aware of.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fair.
People aren't happy. They're usually
pretty
quick to come through and let us know.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
and or post it on Facebook and things like that,
yes.
too. But
but there is that avenue, as I said, coming to council.
Yes.
I mean, that's a concern. If for instance, if they've made a complaint and nothing has happened, it's a question, then I'm
mm-hmm.
sure they'll follow through and come to council. And then it'll be up to council to decide what to do and hear both sides of the story
mm-hmm.
and see what did transpire.
And that would be my recommendation, if someone called, if they made a complaint about Chris or any other staff member and they weren't happy with the resolution, I would automatically say, bring it to council.
Sure. Can I just ask?
I think that's the key, too, to make sure it's in writing, because
mm-hmm.
in the past, I mean, a lot of people do complain, but they won't put pen to paper. And
mm-hmm.
so then if you don't have something to follow up on, it's pretty difficult. Councilor Ryan?
There's just in the last paragraph on the bottom of page 5, do we have a building permit guide handout? I mean, it mentions it here, and I assume maybe because we do have one, but I mean, and I don't know of one, but.
I would think that Chris would hand out. He must have
something.
There's
like a building permit, the whole application, the
mm-hmm.
guide is all detailed on it.
Okay.
Because the building permit application itself covers all building applications, whether it's for a dock or a deck
sure.
or whatever.
Sure.
But there is a list of instructions there so
okay.
that people know. But I mean,
so
this is super to spend
this
time
policy,
with anybody coming in to help them.
So this policy should be in that based upon what this says on page 5, right?
It should
so
be if once it receives or
one receives of the attachments or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. I just wondered because I thought, I don't know of one, but then why would I? So,
mm-hmm.
But that's the idea, I think, of being transparent again for the public to know that there is something that
yeah.
they can refer to, that they have a
yeah.
course of action.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important that it be disseminated on a regular basis, and that also be on the website so that
mm-hmm.
people are aware. But you can make some changes if you want to the actual wording. This is two readings, so I'll get the wording for Carly to...
Do you want me just to give this to you?
I think that the one disciplinary action 1.0, that can be clarified by
here. What I mean here, I just
the responsibility of council.
Okay, we can get everybody on the same page here.
And if the council is made through, it should be and or, I believe. But
we want to make sure that everybody agrees with what Nick's saying.
Sorry. Okay. Well, I can read it out. I did, but I mean, if you want. So here, the first one is on page 4. In point number 3, near the bottom of the page, so it says disciplinary action arising from violations of this code of conduct is the responsibility of council and would be based on the severity and frequency of the violation in accordance with the relevant employment standards. I would simply like to change the word and to and/or. right? In other words, you don't have to meet both conditions to be able to be disciplined. It depends on, frankly, it depends on the severity, but if you had a frequent, lesser problem, that, you know, I understand that, and it's kind of damned if we do, damned if we don't, but that same sentence appears on the top of page 5 and under item 1. In the third line, you can see it against the severity and frequency, and I just wanted it to say and or.
Okay.
There is one other thing that I have forgotten to mention, and I see I wrote it down. In complaints on page 4, which is kind of the third point down there, says a complaint from a member of the public must be in writing and must be signed by the person making the complaint. I don't have a problem with that, but I think it needs to include contact information. I can scribble my name and you'll never be able to read it.
So where is that, complaints?
Yeah, under complaints, the first one.
Oh, okay.
In other words, it's a given if you wrote a letter. Logically, you would put in information for how to contact me, whether it's email or phone or whatever. But, I mean, we might as well state it and just say, obviously, we need that.
It does state it.
Okay.
Facsimile or submitted via a prescribed form authorized by the chief building official and approved by council.
Does the prescribed form ask for that information?
Well,
it will.
It will.
I haven't got one yet.
Okay, fair enough. I can live with that. But, I mean, and it's a given. I think I can't imagine anybody complaining and then not being able to contact them because, again, my signature is illegible for sure. But, yeah.
Councilor Keckley, you got to change.
So the 1.0 disciplinary action can be clarified by adding after violations of the code of conduct is the responsibility of the council, and in the case of allegations of breaches of this code made against building service staff member, the chief building official.
Okay.
So it makes it quite clear that it delineates when it's the complaint is made against the CBO or if it happens to be a building services staff member.
Okay, I don't know whether Carrie got the wording to that.
Yeah.
Got it? Okay.
Do we have a conspicuous location at the building services front service counter? I know we have a bulletin board outside
the there, but he comes to the counter, doesn't he, for people? Does he ever take anybody into his office, or not usually? He meets them out here.
Usually he'll meet them here because the majority of people that come have plans. It's easier to lay it out.
Okay.
So if there's counter space there, I guess I don't know what's at the counter.
But there's
right now.
Not really
not
counter
there.
Space that there's, you know, that you're going to lay a bunch of stuff out, but you know.
I think if we put it on the website and put it in any of the applications that come in. And,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. I thought, like, where would we have something? Well, this is 5 pages. Where would we put that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
And even the bulletin board that's there would do that, but then we'd have to take other things off.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, can't you buy those little sleeves that you could put on the wall outside the office?
Certainly used
mm-hmm.
in the post office.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have some there.
Yeah.
Before we had the setup that we have now.
You know, some of the things you need to put out there for the public,
mm-hmm.
you could put in there.
But you could almost, if we're
like
going to do this
yeah.
for this code of conduct, then why wouldn't we have the
right.
general code of conduct?
Yeah.
And then where does it end? I mean,
yeah.
do we need walls like this long just to be able to put them up?
Mm-hmm.
As I think, in my opinion, as long as it's available to the public, especially if they request it, we could say, here, I'll print one and give it to you. Rather than having to put things on display that we simply lack space to accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did that, then how many other things would we have to have posted on a wall somewhere or
mm-hmm.
a space somewhere? I mean, it gets crowded.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it pretty well covers it when it's handed out with the building
yeah.
permit
yeah.
package
yeah.
and then on
mm-hmm.
the township website when you click on building and planning or whatever it is.
So we could delete that section?
Yeah, so...
Where it's going to be.
And it says, and will
displayed.
Be posted in a conspicuous location at the building services front service counter. So
right.
basically, that whole
okay.
section line, whatever. But because it's on the website and it, you know, we can provide it on request, right? So, because
yeah.
otherwise, the sky's the limit on what
okay.
we can say. It needs to be on that, too. So,
yeah. Once we get our website up and running better,
well, that would help, too. But.
Yeah. Okay, any further discussion on that? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried.
You okay, do you want that?
You can keep it as far as I'm concerned.
We're on to unfinished business, we got the list there.
Are we, just a question, are we gonna do a motion for the vendors?
Carrie? Oh, no, that was whether you were here or not, I think Carly had talked about it. The tenders for the community center, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't time between the tender closing and this meeting to do a full review of them, so it will be on the March 19th meeting, and the contractors are aware of that, because they've been inquiring.
So we got the Township of Perry one. Yeah, so we have resolution 24-135, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby direct staff to contact the Township of Perry to inquire if the Township of Perry has signed an agreement with CMO, and further inquire if the Township has concerns with regards to non-eligible source blue box material unit price deduction being $200 per ton, multiplied by the tons of blue box material picked up by CMO or a contractor identified by CMO from time to time from the depots during the applicable calendar month, multiplied by the non-eligible source blue box material unit price. That's a mouthful. That's what it says in the...
Should we refer back to the document, like what page it's on at least?
That's a direct quote from...
I know.
The Township of Perry's agreement may be different than ours, so
okay.
I wouldn't directly...
Okay, good. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. I know Councilor Hassman has been waiting for recreation. We put him off last time, so you can start us off.
Well, by my notes, really only one other thing. That's it was brought up at the rec level. We tidied up our storage area and everything, and the back basement downstairs is it's got a lot of stuff all over the place, and we wondered whether it would be worthwhile having Greg meet with the various groups and just kind of go through the basement and see if there's stuff that nobody ever uses and either get it hauled away or deem it surplus and sell it, or so whether something like that could be arranged.
Yeah, if Greg has the time, and you have representatives who can speak on behalf of the committee.
Right, yeah. So
and if it's acceptable at the transfer station, you have to make sure that it can go there.
Well, like Greg would... find that out, I guess. But
No, that sounds good. As you say, surplus. I mean, this came up before with the sound system. I think that we want to make sure that it's put out to the public if it's salvageable, and they have an opportunity to bid on it, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as you say, some of it probably is just garbage.
I'm starting to think it is, and somebody brought up about even stuff getting piled in around the furnace area and that, and that maybe not the safest kind of habit to get into, so I don't know what all groups there would be.
It might be Agricultural Society. I know they had an area down there. So.
Yeah, they got their own area. Now, whether it was spilled out beyond that, and just like rec through the years, it's had various events that maybe stuff has been piled down there, and then the event never happens again. So it's not to try to pinpoint any certain groups, just to see if we could tidy it up or get rid of any junk. So,
sounds good. Pretty agreeable to that.
Yeah, as long as all of the groups and subgroups are consulted. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so make sure they're all covered, I guess.
Because, for agricultural, then they have subgroups, and, if horse show stuff starts disappearing,
right.
Then
that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you'll take charge of that?
No.
With Greg?
Yeah.
I'm writing.
Well, Greg has to know. Yeah, that's we need direction. Greg has to know what's disposable, what isn't, so he doesn't want to make the call.
For the record, while I've been at movie nights with recreational committee meetings, people, They have lots of comments about stuff down there too that I think is part of the rec committee stuff, but it appears to be dated. At least that's their opinion. That's, I'm just making a statement. So I think it's true that it requires a conscious review of, do we still want this and things like that. But and anything that's consultative would be beneficial for all, frankly. So
there might be very little that's surplus, but it's been actually come up now and then for the last decade, and now it's getting to a point where it's like, whoa, yeah, it's getting quite busy down there. And if it's some stuff that is not used is cleaned out, well, then we can start piling more junk in.
Put that in the resolution. Yeah. We need more space so we can pile more junk. Yeah, okay. And Terry actually recommended to me that he said he would be willing to actually build shelves or whatever was required to store things in a more convenient way. So,
Even if we still end up with all that junk down there, there isn't surplus, well then, one of the rec members is quite an ambitious fellow and he may try to organize it.
Sure.
But we don't really want anybody going there and start moving stuff around and some other group and say, where is that?
But anyway, there's positive comments too. I mean, about wanting to be involved in, doing a cleanup and things too.
Oh yeah,
so,
yeah. It's just a case of making sure all parties are there. And
I would think that would be difficult to coordinate, but
Well,
starts quite
the right person in charge. He'll coordinate.
Well, I would think like the chair of the rec and historical, which I believe is the same person, maybe, and then the agricultural
limited numbers.
So we might not fill it up with people. Hopefully not. Anyway,
as long as the committee has a resolution from the, or that the chair has a resolution from the committee saying that you can speak on our behalf.
Might involve taking pictures of some stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
To take back to their groups and say, okay, make a decision. It's worth a try. Yeah.
Well, I'm just working on that resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Other committees? Yes, Councilor Zulak?
Library board meeting. So the renovations in the library are going well. They're almost done. The painting is underway. Shelving is being put up. Cabinets are being put in place. And thanks to all for moving this along. Anyone interested in holding a workshop in conjunction with the library, to contact Terry and they could work something out. Anyone has any ideas or of anyone? And the board also asked if it would be possible for them to have a newsletter put in the next round of taxes. It's just one page, both sides. So,
I don't know, how heavy are they getting? The newsletter, the tax bills. Can you insert something else? I know the Lake Stewardship put something in, so is there going to be room for something from the library?
Well, this is something that we had discussed, is that I think, because we don't want the tax bills getting that heavy,
right.
But I think that, I think Mary must have mentioned about the library wanting to put something in, maybe Terry talked to her, and we had said that we thought that come July, the next bills, the library should have the opportunity to have a mail out.
Yeah, they wanted to put it in this time, but they were too late.
Yeah.
So they just wondered if it would be possible to have the one sheet.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we thought, that it's only fair that other organizations have that opportunity.
So when would they have to have that submitted in?
Our final tax bills will go out mid-July.
So if they had it in?
Well, as long as we have it by the 1st of July.
1st of July?
Yeah, we've got lots
of
time.
And also they were wondering if they could purchase a bulletin board, because they always have so much stuff, and put it downstairs outside the post office beside one of the other bulletin boards. Because I think the one down there has mostly all of their stuff on it.
that board is, some people follow the rules, some don't. They'll take a look at that, looks like an old one, put something over top of it.
Yeah,
I guess it's a room, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see the problems on the search.
And then they also inquired, is this bulletin board out here? Is that just for
that planning
and stuff? That's what I thought.
And we, there's the two in the vestibule, and we actually, for our office, we purchased one and we got it right by the counter because the library does have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Probably we have to take a look every once in a while because a lot of other people will just come in and post things on it, so it should probably be gone through every once in a while.
But if they put the one downstairs and just put all their stuff, it should be.
Yeah.
I think it would be good.
The one on the other side is just basically business cards, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, they don't need a full bulletin board. The library should also be able to use a portion of that.
Okay. And so also they're going to be preparing for a grand opening of the new revitalization of the library, and they're planning to have it on Saturday, the day that this market opening day. And that's July the 6th, and so the library will be open from 10 till 2 on that Saturday, and they'll have cake and whatever, so hopefully people come to the market, like stop over here. And
we tell them there's free cake, they'll
yeah.
come. So.
And,
they'll be parking here anyway.
Well.
That, and they're going to have new hours starting up in April, and once that's confirmed, then we'll put that up. There's a few extra hours going to be put in there. That's it, except for they're going to send you the minutes, how they did it. Yeah, they're just going to do that now instead of me giving them to you. They're going to send the minutes directly to you that are already been passed. Okay, that's all.
Just a question. So, isn't the opening for the McKellar Market, July 1st is the Monday, so wouldn't it be the Saturday, the 29th, the first day of the McKellar Market?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I thought it was the 6th.
Yeah, I do too. I don't have any proof, but that's what
I
think.
It's going to be the 6th, because we just had something tonight that, oh, the Rib Fest. He said they're going to have the Rib Fest on the 7th,
yes.
And that would be the McKellar Market weekend.
Okay. Yeah, but even if it's the market weekend, is it the 2nd?
No, I thought he said in his thing that was their opening.
Yeah, he said it was their opening. He did.
Well, whenever their opening is,
yeah.
That's when they're having their
because
their thing.
The McKellar Market, I've seen in some correspondence recently that they were going to be obtaining Canada Day
I saw that.
Stuff. And, well, would you be handing them Canada Day stuff out on the 6th, the week after Canada Day long weekend?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But whatever their opening is, that's when they're having it.
And I'd also heard that the library is going to have a 3D printer. Is that what they're
yes.
for?
That's a few,
so
few different
have
things.
To keep an eye on.
Yeah, yes.
What might be made on that?
Yeah, yeah. They're really checked into that.
Yeah.
Checked into a lot of that stuff. There's a Cricut and a 3D printer and a few different things. They're going to have things that people can come in and use, like or tape, or sewing machine, tools, all kinds of different things, you know, that people need to come in and, you know, get to some tools, maybe drills or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a few different things. But if you get a chance to go in and have a look around, it's coming really good.
Oh, the color.
Yeah.
Is it the same as
a shade later?
Yeah.
Okay, other committees?
Okay. So tomorrow there's a historical committee meeting. Usually they're at 3:30 p.m. Tomorrow is at 2 p.m. And just the historical committee is going to try that for two meetings and determine if that's going to be the set time going forward. And then with CPAC, we just received the most recent correspondence from the Ministry of the Solicitor General, and so they're getting set for the April 1st implementation of the new Police Services Board, and they require some contact information, and so they can post on the ministry's website. So we'll see what the CPAC committee pulls together in the next 2 weeks.
April 1st, that's lots of time. Yeah.
Well, this is the deadline for the information that they require is March 15th. So and we just received this last night. So we'll see how
Okay, anything else?
I was at the Chamber of Commerce board meeting last night. We have a new president of the chamber, whose last name I wouldn't hazard a guess as how to pronounce. And she was elected at the previous board meeting, which would have been, I think a month before, but I was there for that too. But of interest, what they've decided, the chamber has decided to do, is they're trying to, and I'm going to read this because it's better than I can say it, they're trying to set up a trades and industry night in May. And the comments here says, as Parry Sound area doesn't currently have a builders association like Muskoka does, there was a desire to have an outing such as this to bring together our local tradespeople, construction firms, suppliers, specialists, designers for a social night. And they only posted that on their, I think their Facebook group, possibly other places. And I know they're limited to 60 people, and she said that filled up to 40 people like overnight. So I think I sent you or Carly a copy of that. And I don't know if we have a list of tradespeople here. And truthfully, it's really about tradespeople, especially in McKellar, because I don't think there's any big construction companies. But and I just thought it would be worthwhile posting on our website and public notices or whatever, and see if there is, so that they're not excluded. And I think typically the chamber doesn't think much about McKellar, and I don't mean that in a nasty way. I simply put, it doesn't come to mind, right? There is no negative associated. It's just not, you know, part of their thought process. Truthfully, they really think about Parry Sound itself, and occasionally some other townships, but not often. So I mentioned to them that I would do this and see if we could get local tradespeople. And I think from the comments that Lori gave about this, it's very well received in Muskoka to have this as a means of sharing things and finding other contractors that will work with them to do things. So I think it could prove very beneficial for local tradespeople anyhow. So.
Yeah, what we found in the past, I guess, surveys were sent out in that too. It works both ways. What has the chamber done for me?
I know.
And so that's why they get very few people. They tend to advertise on their own, and it's word of mouth, people they know.
Yeah.
As you say, they're individual contractors sort of thing. So it works both ways, and it's unfortunate. They're trying harder, I noticed this year, all of the things they're sending out, and certainly on their own Facebook page and things like that. So it may have an effect.
And you do have frequent newsletters and things like that too. But
proposition.
There is some other things, but that's what I took away as the important stuff that they were doing. So
I'm not sure if it's complete without it. Resolution 24-136, moved by Councillor Haskam, seconded by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby requested the Director of Operations meet with various members of committees, groups, and subgroups to determine what items stored in the basement are of value or what can be determined surplus to be sold or disposed of. Not of. Disposed.
Yeah, that's fine.
All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Consent agenda. We have resolution 24-137, moved by Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. And if you wish to pull from that,
yeah.
Councillor Zulai.
There's three things: 25.1, 25.7, and 25.9. So on 25.1, that AMO watch call, I was just wondering here, it has applications open Rural Transit Solutions Fund. I know we don't have any transit, but they were saying about solutions. Is there maybe, you know, somehow we could look into it and see if it would, because we don't have transit, maybe our roads, we could get something.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that would fit in that one. I know Parry Sound tried the transportation route. I don't know how long they tried it, but
yeah,
I'm not sure that it would apply to us.
I just wondered if maybe somehow we could work something for our roads in there. Okay, and then the other one is 25.7. I found this one was interesting because it was Occupational Health and Safety Act, and they declare the definition of an employer. And so, like, the council is actually the employer when you contract to work.
So they want it, the liability to go on to the contractor who's responsible for what's happening.
Yeah.
Not the, the township or not the council. I think they make a valid point, but I'm not sure if the contractor will take on that responsibility liability because they're actually an agent of working for the township.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to look at.
Yeah, it just caught my attention. And the other one was 25.9. That was for supporting their North District School Board's request to the Ministry of Education to not exercise their authority granted by Bill 98 for the closure of rural elementary schools within McDougall. And McDougall wanted to establish a new accommodation review committee.
Yeah, I don't know whether the water's under the bridge on that one. But I know they've been trying, and I think the board even agreed to pass that. They wanted rural schools to remain open. I think they passed a resolution. But I don't know. I mean, as you watch the new school going up there, I don't know whether there's any chance of saving Nobel and McDougall or not. I guess you keep trying. This is similar to a resolution, I think, that we put out before. But
yeah. I thought we did put some.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I remember it. But
I thought the last I read that they started to build the school, and then that they think that there maybe was a mistake made on the amount of kids coming up, and that they may have to keep one of those schools open.
That's what
the
I
school
thought.
School board's thinking
something.
That's something I thought I had read. That
there's something about portables. Did
yeah.
you hear
well, that was always a given that we're going to do the pods. Yeah, like they're portables, really.
Yeah, but I mean, really. Why wouldn't you keep another school open if you're going to put pods?
Well, that was in the design from years back, and they seemed to think that that was, you know, the way to go. But
anyways,
I know there are a lot of concerns.
That's all I know.
All the questions, all those in favor? Resolution 24-138, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Beckman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township Kelly does hereby give bylaw number 2024-20, in the bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council first and second reading, further read a third time and passed and open Council the 5th day of March 2024. All the questions, all those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Any questions from the public?
Nobody
there. So we have resolution number 24-139, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller adjourned this meeting at 9:42 p.m. We meet again on March the 19th, 2024, at the call of the mayor. All questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Meeting is now adjourned.